Blog Talk Radio.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Are you a mighty man of valor? There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside of you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life. The mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship God, true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ, and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as our sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout unto the Lord. He hears your heart cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you are weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy, single-handed, the mighty men of valor.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good evening, everyone. Hallelujah. You've joined, hallelujah, the Men's Fellowship of the Potter's House, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International. Hallelujah. Our motto is where the broken are made whole by God. And we thank God for another second Friday of the month. Hallelujah. And Minister Jerry, are you there?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Can you lead us in prayer, if you would, sir?
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for getting us up this morning and starting us on our way.
Yes.
Thank you for bringing us safely through the day and for bringing us to this moment for your glory and your honor, and that we will part with the wisdom and knowledge that will help to advance the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. And thank you so much, Minister Jerry. And we have a topic today. I know the Word of God says in Proverbs 22:6 to train up a child. And often, in fact, even in the men's fellowship, we have mentioned the seven pillars of wisdom. But there's some children, kings in training, that are maybe not old enough to comprehend the seven pillars of wisdom. So the Lord dropped in our spirit about three steps to the seven pillars of wisdom, something that you could teach a 18-month-old or 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5 or 6 or 7, so a child of that size, something that could kind of like stick to their ribs and they could understand and kind of remember and hold tight. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because you know, young men, they're kings in training. These children are kings in training. And as we become adults, we become kings. You know, and we thank God for that promotion when we have the responsibility of leading others to Christ and being a king in our particular corner of the world. Now, those kings in training, sometimes we can't say, for instance, give a child who's in kindergarten or in the first grade how to do calculus. Unless they're a genius, calculus might be a little bit too much for them. Is that right, Minister Jerry?
Calculus is a handful for folks who know it. Yes, sir.
So, likewise, in dealing with things of God, we must make it so that people can, the children can kind of gnaw on it and chew it and kind of be able to deal with it themselves. And we came up with something called TSD.
Bishop, can I interrupt for just a second?
Yes, you can. Go
you
ahead.
Know what? I think that can we start this with, before we get into the what we're here for, can we like preface this with the seven pillars of wisdom, so that our audience will know what we're leaving behind for the adults, and then how we're reducing it for the children.
Amen. That's a good idea. The seven pillars of wisdom. You can find this initiated in Proverbs 9:1. But the seven pillars, and that's P-I-L-A-R-S. That's not pillars like you lay your head on a pillow. This is pillars like holds up a building.
Yeah.
And this is the wisdom that will take you through life, take you through your Christian walk, and through natural life. The seven pillars are with you. Want me to give them out? You want me to do that? I will.
Yes, sir. Would you?
Okay, yes. Number one is have a coachable, teachable spirit. In other words, don't be a know-it-all, because the fact is you don't know it all. That's number one. Number two, have a burning desire to be excellent and please God. In other words, you know, be excellent. Don't be slipshod. You know, just make it. You want to be excellent in everything you do, and you want to please God. That's number two. Number three, have a willingness to work and go the extra mile. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That will take you further, especially if you're on a job and you're known for going the extra mile. When layoff time comes, they're going to go past you because they say, this guy does more than what he's asked. He does his job and then some. You know, so we're going to keep him. So that's number three is have a willingness to work and go the extra mile. And number four is have a heart of integrity and honesty. Be honest. When you say something, you know, honor your own word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have integrity and honesty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And number five is have a loving heart. I mean, you know, love your neighbor, love yourself, have a loving heart. And number six is have a forgiving heart. You got to forget because somebody done forgave you. You're going to have to forgive others. Hallelujah. And then the number seven is have a giving heart. Hallelujah. Giving heart. Hallelujah. Have the ability to give others. So those seven, again, very quickly, have a coachable, teachable spirit, a burning desire to be excellent and please God, a willingness to work and go the extra mile, a heart of integrity and honesty, a loving heart, a forgiving heart, and a giving heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. What are your comments on the seven pillars of wisdom?
Pillars of wisdom is the New Testament in reduced. It's all about love. So if we can master the seven pillars of wisdom, if we can even get close to the seven pillars of wisdom, we are mastering. We're well on our way to mastering the love of God and to demonstrating the love of God, so that we can talk about now the three different I'm not going to call them watered down versions,
but the three steps to the seven pillars of wisdom.
Okay.
Three steps to the building, because wisdom is a building. So three steps up to the building. This is before you get in the building. There's three steps.
Okay, good.
And to remember them, I came up with the TSD. T is in Thomas, S is in Sam, D is in David. And
TSD, right.
TSD, so that you can remember this. And you can share this with your two-year-old, with your three-year-old, with your four-year-old, even with your one-year-old. They have the ability to speak and complete sentences and understand subject. You'll know yourself when they're ready to receive this. Okay, number one, if it's not yours, don't take it. If it's not yours, don't take it. And there's a scripture that backs that up. In fact, I'm going to tell you, it actually backs that up. I'm going to go through the whole thing. If it's not yours, don't take it. If it's not true, don't say it. If it's not right, don't do it. TSD. If it's not yours, don't take it. If it's not true, don't say it. If it's not right, don't do it. Now, Leviticus 19:11 says something. What does that say?
Leviticus 19:11 tells us, thou shalt not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another.
Amen. That covers.
Thou shalt not steal.
Yes, right. And that is so important that children know this. So again, if it's not yours, don't take it. If it's not true, don't say it. Now, there's another scripture that deals with that too. That's Exodus 20, verse 15 and 16.
Exodus 20, 15 and 16.
Uh-huh. And what does that say?
Exodus 20, 15 and 16 tells us, thou shalt not steal. 15. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. 16.
Okay. Now, false witness, in other words, lie. If it's not true, don't say it. If it's not true, don't say it. And then we have, if it's not right, don't do it. And we have a scripture for that, too. I think that's in James.
Yes, sir.
James. Uh-huh.
That's James 4:17.
Uh-huh.
4:17 tells us, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
In other words, if it's not right, don't do it. But if you do it and it's not right, you committed sin.
Yes.
Don't do it. Again, you share it with your children, with your 2-year-old, your 3-year-old. They may not be able to comprehend the Ten Commandments or the Seven Pillars of Wisdom or any of the other things, but if you tell them, TSD, remember this baby, remember this young man, a king in training. If it's not yours, don't take it. If it's not true, don't say it. And if it's not right, don't do it. And you will be building in them a heart of integrity and honesty. You will be building in them a godly character. And that's so important at an early age. You can't wait till they're 15 and 16 to start teaching them that kind of stuff, because it's kind of like too late. Or you can't wait till they're in the early 20s to start teaching them that. You got to start when they just learn how to walk and talk, and they're able to talk in sentences, et cetera. You got to share this kind of stuff. It's the three steps to the seven pillars of wisdom. They're in pre-K or K or first or second grade. They need to hear this. What do you think about this?
Not only do they need to hear it, you're absolutely right, Bishop, but this is something that we need to practice. We can talk to them, but we have to come up with a way that we can help them practice not saying things that aren't true. Not taking things that don't belong to them.
Mm.
At that time, at the time frame that we're talking about, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and so forth, is a time when the boys and girls are they're in classes, let's say, for example, and somebody's always getting accused of stealing somebody's pencil. I don't know, this just comes to my mind automatically somehow. That's mine, and I'll tell you something that is very popular and that will that they will fall out about is these mechanical pencils. So they'll forget about a yellow pencil. Okay, so they'll let you have a yellow pencil, but don't fool with their mechanical pencil. That's the one. That's a lead pencil, and you push down on the top on the eraser, and the lead pops out of the bottom. Oh, we have trouble with that.
Well, you know something I just thought about, too, and this is so true. One of the ways you can teach them, the little children, about TSD is for you to deal with TSD yourself. Because kids learn from what they see. In fact, they probably learn only 15% of what you say and 85% of what you do.
That's right.
So you, as the king, there might be some ladies listening to this. You, as a queen, should practice. If it's not yours, don't take it. If it's not true, don't say it. And if it's not right, don't do it. And there's no such thing as a white lie. A lie is a lie. If it ain't true, don't say it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you know, some people have a thing, they say, well, but I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to say the truth. So I might say a little white lie, so I won't hurt their feelings. It's best to keep your mouth shut than to say a lie. You know, I heard someone say this many years ago, when you lie, something dies in your life.
Mm.
When you don't, and I can see truth dying. Truth done died when you tell a lie. You done crucified the truth. So again, TSD, T as in and take, S as in say, D as in do. If it's not yours, don't take it. If it's not true, don't say it. If it's not right, don't do it. That's for you, you 5-year-old, and that's for you who's 50 years old, and for everybody. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I think all of us can kind of learn from that. It's easy to remember TSD. And again, teach it to your children. You done taught them everything else. You done taught them the ABCs. You're trying to teach them the numbers. You're trying to teach them the phone number. You're trying to teach them your address. You're trying to teach them about that. Why not teach them a life-giving a skill? This is a skill to be able to yield not to temptation, because sometimes kids are tempted to take something that's not there, especially something they want.
Oh, yes.
It's something they desire, you know, they're attracted to, they want, but it's not there. Now, if someone gives it to them, then it becomes there. If not theirs, they can't take it. If it's not true, you can't say it. I know sometimes, Minister Jerry, sometimes, you know, I can see a mother talking to a child, and she's putting a persona dress and says, "Do I look fat in this?" Boy, that's a question. Don't answer that. No, you don't ask that because you don't want to say something that's not true. So you just say, "What do you think?" You ask the question, "What do you think, Mom?"
Oh, my God.
Because some will set you up for you to either tell the truth or lie. A white lie. Is a lie is a lie. And
here's
I have truth is a whole lie. So you got to tell the truth or say nothing at all.
Here's what you do, Bishop.
What
do you say? If she asks you, "Do I look fat in this?" And you as a child will have to come up with something positive to say. You better come up with something good to say.
Yeah.
And so you would say something like, "Ma," and you would say that, you would use your not your Sunday ma. You would say, "Ma, you look beautiful."
Yes. Now you can call those things and be that as though they were, huh? All of you, or like I said, you could ask the question, "Ma, what do you think?"
Oh yes.
Yeah, what do you think?
Turn it around and ask the question. Ask the question. Yes.
Yeah. I know that as a school teacher, you tell folks don't answer a question with a question. But sometimes it's safe to do that. But you can also say, excuse me just a second. I have to go to the little boy's room or something. Little girl, but don't answer that. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
With caution.
Minister Jerry, they got to think about that for a few seconds. The first thing that comes to your mind, little children, don't say it.
Particularly if it's going to hurt your mom's feelings, if it's going to hurt the feelings necessarily. You know, there are ways to tell the truth, but that might be middle school. I don't know. Okay, but. The children today are wiser.
Uh-huh.
Yes. There is a kind of wisdom that they operate in. So they know what to say, and they more than likely know how to say it to get it to go over. Yes. So, yes, they're going to find a way to tell the truth.
Uh-huh.
They're going to find a way to say it. And then, you know, if it's not right, don't do it. Now, what is it about not knowing what's right? There's no scripture, I'm sure, that comes to your mind, but it's your inner man. It's your knower. It's the Spirit of God on the inside of you that has already regulated the yes and the no's, the good from the bad. So, you know, there's nothing that's going to give you a direction usually, you know, unless it's something that comes back to mind okay, you did something or you did something the other day and you got reprimanded for it. Okay, so that might come back to mind. Okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Okay, so there's something on the inside of you, the Spirit of God on the inside of you is going to know what to do and what not to do. Just like he's going to give you directions on what to say and what not to say, and further, he will give you directions on what is true and how to express it and what is not true and how to express that.
You know, children get a lead from their parents.
Yes.
And because the job of parents is not to be their friend, although it's nice that they consider them their friend, but to train them, to prepare them for the real world.
Yes.
And often what we fail to realize is that a child's job is to test all the limits.
Mm.
But our job is to set the limits, to
mm-hmm.
let them know what's right and wrong. So when they come up to a situation where it's a fork in the road, where
yes.
you can be right or wrong, they will already know what's right and what's wrong because
that's right.
you've taught them already. You've taken them to Sunday school. Don't
yes.
you dare ask a four-year-old or a three-year-old or two-year-old, do you want to go to church with us today? Come on now. Let's be real. Do you need to take them to church so they can get in children's church or the Good News Youth Club or whatever they have, or children's church or Sunday
yes.
school or whatever, so they can, reinforce all of the things to do and not do. And
I like that word.
That's right. They're going to find out that there's so more things that you can do as a Christian than you can do as a sinner.
Yes.
You know, so they're going to be watching mom and dad. They're going to be watching them okay, I saw dad doing such and such, so it must be right. And so they
mm-hmm.
go, that's why we got to do what's right.
That's right.
So
all eyes are on us. Yes.
TXD is for us, and we
yes.
share that with our children. But it's for us to do so they can learn from us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what they so
the
what
one
they
thing I ever seen is for a child to say a bad word, and the parents say, don't you say any bad words, and you know what the child said, but you curse all the time.
Yes.
You see, you got to be the example. For TSD, you've got to, it won't work unless you be the example. You the example. Well, I'm old enough to, that is not, you're old enough to sin. Sin is sin. And, you've got to do it right so your children will learn how to do it right. You've got to deal with TSD. If it's not yours, don't take it. Don't be bringing home stuff from the job and saying they don't pay me enough. That's why I bought this paper and these ink pens and this stapler home. And what are you telling your child? Unless the boss said, you can take the stapler and the ink pens and all that. You can take that home with you. I'm giving that to you.
Yeah.
That's what you got to say. You got to spell that out because the child is looking at you. And he sees stuff from your job, it'll be better for you to say, yeah, my boss gave this to me.
That's right.
To let you off the they're paying attention to what you do, y'all. You're a king. You got some kings in training that they're watching you. They got their eyes on you. They may not say anything, but they're watching what you do. They're watching what you say. Hallelujah, glory to God. They're watching what you're bringing home from work or what you deal with. You go to the store and they see you shoplift. They don't know how you do that. You didn't pay for that. They ain't crazy. They know
that
you got something and didn't go to the cash register and pay for it.
Hmm.
You got
Daddy, what is that hanging out your pocket? What don't forget that. you know, sometimes we make mistakes.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
And I have done it. I've seen it. You know, people walk out of the store with a bottle of a case of water under the cart.
I was going to say that.
Yes. That they have forgotten about. They put everything up on the thing, and nobody noticed that carton of water under the cart. So we get out to the car. We get out to the car, and we start loading the car with this stuff, and somebody spots, oh, you know, there's water under this thing. Did we pay for that? Oh no, I don't think we did. So
go back in. I went back in. I said y'all didn't count this. I don't know whether it was a bag of potatoes or it was a carton of some water or whatever.
Right.
So I went back in and paid for that. I remember doing that. See, that's a mistake. But you rectified it.
Yes.
Yeah, you rectified it.
It was a mistake that you took it out.
You didn't know it.
You don't want to continue the mistake. The
children will hear that and see that.
Yes, they will.
And they'll do what you do.
And the next thing you know, they'll be doing it too. Or they'll become indecisive about to do in that situation.
Or what they do will be delivered. Yours was a mistake, but you didn't rectify the mistake.
Yes.
So you just, but they may go and do some delivery.
What do we call that? A teaching moment.
A teaching moment. And here's the thing, Minister Jerry. Every moment you are before your children is a teaching moment.
Yes.
They learn from everything that you do, how you treat your wife, their mother, how you treat the other children. It's a teaching moment. And you've got to make sure that they're taught the right thing, because that's your responsibility. Their blood is on your hands. They grow up and they don't learn some bad things from you, and they go do it. Yes, they're going to meet the consequences of that, but guess what? So will you. So will
you.
So you got to make sure. That when you're teaching these children TSD, make sure you follow TSD.
Yeah.
Again, if it's not yours, don't take it. If it's not true, don't say it. If it's not right, don't do it. It's as simple as that. And as they develop their character, their Christian character, and as they get older, then you can take them along to the up to the building of the seven pillars of wisdom. You got wisdom can be used in your secular job, in church, in your home, in your family, in your neighborhood, wherever. Those things are good to use. You know, the seven pillars of wisdom. We're gonna mention that again so that y'all can understand what we're leading you to. What the TSD is, the three steps to the seven pillars of wisdom. Now, the seven pillars of wisdom, this is for older kids. They may be able to understand it. Have a coachable, teachable spirit. In other words, don't be a know-it-all, because you don't know it all. Have a burning desire to be excellent and please God. You want to be the best. You don't be shucks. You're in a race. You want to win. You don't want to come in second place. If you come in second place, that's okay. You did your best. But you want to be excellent.
And
that will please God. And number three is have a willingness to work. Don't have a job where every time a supervisor is looking for you, you're in the corner on your cell phone.
Oh, my God.
You know, you don't have the willingness to work. You go the extra mile.
Oh, my God.
No. Have a willingness to work and go the extra mile. That's a part of integrity and honor. Be honest with your dealings and with your job, with how you handle yourself. If you make a promise, keep it. Don't make no promises you don't plan to keep, because your word is your bond. It don't cost no money to make a promise. But if you break your promise, You know, people have lost faith in you.
That's what is remembered. Yes.
So, a heart of integrity and honesty. That's number four. Number five is have a loving heart. Love folk. Don't be hating people. Love folk. Hallelujah. Do good to them that despitefully use you. You know, I mean, that's hard, but love is going to bless you. It's going to take you further than any other feeling.
Yes.
Any other emotion. Love is going to be a blessing to you. And then have a forgiving heart. I mean, folks make a mistake, or maybe deliberately do something to you. Forgive them. And somebody will forgive you. And then have a giving heart.
Have
a willingness to share and to give others. So those seven pillars of wisdom, again, have a coachable, teachable spirit, a burning desire to be excellent and please God, a willingness to work and go the extra mile, a heart of integrity and honesty, a loving heart, a forgiving heart, and a giving heart. But the three steps to those seven pillars of wisdom, and that's P-I-L-L-A-R-S, pillars of wisdom. The three steps is TSD. Minister Jerry, if it's not yours, don't take it. If it's not true, don't say it. If it's not right, don't do it.
Don't do it.
I don't know what else to say than I tell you.
But I will say this, Pat, Bishop. This requires some can I share this?
Yes.
When the abortion, I don't know if I should even talk about this.
Go ahead.
But when the abortion, when the Supreme Court overturned the abortion thing, everybody was in arms. Everybody was up, oh, my body, my choice, my body, my choice. Well, that is true. But if you have a life of God to me on the inside, it took me a minute to process this. And I said, wait a minute, this is turned around to the right. This is not turned to the left. This is turned to the right. So yes, we don't want to kill innocent. We don't want to take innocent lives unnecessarily. Now sometimes it's necessary to abort, but we don't want to make it a habit. We don't want it to be a regular thing. We don't want to do it because it's just a mistake. If it has to be done, we do it because someone else is in danger. The mother is in danger. But my point is, I had to recognize, oh, wait a minute. We had been wrong so long that it started feeling right. And then when it flipped to right, you had to think about it. I had to think about it and get my thinking straight. And say, oh yes, wait a minute, this is straightening out.
But you know what? Here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand.
What's that, Bishop?
Is that God gives us choice.
Yes.
Now, God is against abortion.
Mm-hmm.
We know that.
Mm-hmm.
We as Christians know that God's against abortion and that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that God has done, he has said, look here, your government can't legislate morality.
Right.
It comes from the individual
mm-hmm.
to make a choice. And a lot of people who don't mean Christ right, who don't mean the church right, picked up on the abortion issue.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out and they bomb abortion clinics and they kill doctors
mm-hmm.
who deal with that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right. Okay, so one sin, I'm going to commit another sin because they commit another. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. But the key to that, this may be for somebody, is that God gives you choice. It's up to the individual to choose. Because here's one thing that a lot of folks don't understand. God loses nothing. Before a child comes here, they're in the heart of God.
Yes.
If they're
not
able to put on their earth suit for one reason or another, they go back to God who sent them.
You're speaking truth.
God loses nothing. And when we all get to heaven, say there's a woman that's had three abortions, two miscarriages, and then three live births. There are going to be eight children coming up to her.
Yes.
Saying, hello, mama. God loses nothing. Y'all got to understand this. He loses nothing. So, yes, the political people, the atheists, got a word about this. But, see, we just stay in the word of God. That's why we live by the word of God. Not by the government will say, but we live by what the word of God says. We stand on the word of God.
Because it is.
Don't take a life because God says not, thou shalt not kill. But that's your choice as an individual. And you got to meet God for yourself. But here's another thing, Minister Jerry, that those women that when they were earlier, they had one abortion, some had three or four, five abortions. You don't feel guilty about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask God for forgiveness, guess what? He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
And like I said, when we all get to heaven, them aborted fetuses, the spirit, their spirit, they will come and come up to you and say, hello, mom, hello, dad. Because God loses nothing. Before you come here, you're in the heart of God.
You're in the heart of God.
And if you don't put on your earth suit, guess what? You go back to God who sent you. But it is a choice, y'all.
Yes.
It is a choice. Not the government's choice, but it's your choice. Choose wisely. That's why we deal with the seven pillars of wisdom. That's why we deal with the three steps to the seven pillars of wisdom. So that you will be able to have a foundation for making wise choices. Don't depend on the government doing what individuals ought to do. I'm not going to demonstrate, not going to go to war on people for or against abortion. I know God's against abortion. And I stand on his word. And that's all that matters to me. And Minister Jerry, I want you to know this, that some man that's listening to it needed to hear this. Because
yes.
They're wrestling with the thought of somebody who's out of wedlock is
mm-hmm.
pregnant with their baby.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wondering, should we abort the baby?
Yes.
God says no.
That's right.
And he's waiting for you to choose. He says, well, choose you this day whom you're going to serve.
Yes.
So it's a choice.
Say it.
Bottom line. This is not a political statement. It's a choice for us to make. But anyway, we finished. The alarm went off about 3-4 minutes ago. God bless you, Minister Jerry. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. We glorify your name. We thank you, Lord, for the word shared. Hallelujah. Glory to God. May the words of our mouths. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless and keep. And that harvest come upon those who listen. 3600 fold. We thank you, Lord. May hallelujah. God bless and keep all of you. May cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Hallelujah. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister Joy. Have a blessed day. Hallelujah. God bless everyone. And stay tuned for the Women's Fellowship. Coming in about 5 minutes. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you so much, Minister Jerry. Did you have anything last to say? I apologize, but didn't give you a chance to say anything else.
You said it all.
That's all right.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you.
Yes,
all right. Until next month, be blessed in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Are you a mighty man of valor? There is power in the name of Jesus. He stands for truth. The name of Jesus alone can save you. Like Gideon, God sees the greatness inside of you. He's the king that has all authority and all power. Let God speak into your life, thou mighty man of valor. Great is he that is within you than he that is within the whole world. For our Lord is a man of war. So onward, Christian soldiers, marching out to war. For I save the Lord will be unto her. A wall of fire run about be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to worship God, true Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marks and orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the ark of the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. He hears your heart cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He's the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you're weakening the camp of the enemy. and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy. Single-handed, the mighty men of valor.
Potter's House, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International. Hallelujah, hallelujah. and our co-host, Pastor Maxine Lee. You there, Pastor Maxine?
Yes, I am. Thanks, the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. We thank God for a beautiful day for bringing us back to another second Friday night. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, around the word of God. Hallelujah. And we want to open up in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy. Father God, we love you, and we just thank you, Lord God, for every opportunity you've given us, Lord God, to get around the word of God. Hallelujah, to learn more of you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, allow everything to be a blessing. Let everything be done in decency and order. Hallelujah. We rightly divide the word. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And tonight, I wanted to talk about, I guess, a subject. Well, the reason I wanted to talk about whether or not a person that is unsaved should be put into a position in the church, or put in a position of authority, or should have authority over in an office at church or anything like that. And what made me think, I had a flashback. I went to a church, and I was a visitor, and I was going there to praise and worship, and there was a person up there. It was a male, and the male had one of the scarves around his neck. It was like one of them, a continual scarf or a universal scarf, whatever they call them. And it's one that you put around your neck, and then you wrap it, and then loop it again. And then when he came down from the pulpit where the praise and worship was, he had braids in his hair, and I think the braids were in a bun. And I'm thinking, like, And, you know, and you don't want to judge. You don't want to have thoughts in your head and all. But when you see something like that, because I don't see males wearing scarves like that. I don't see males in churches with their hair like that. And then when they have a certain strut, you aren't blind. You see the strut. I mean, how they walking and all. And it seemed to be some feminine tendencies there. You're like, wait a minute. And you think, like, what's wrong with this picture? And you don't, it puts questions in your mind. And, you know, and you don't want to think the wrong things. But it makes you think, like, Lord, should someone be, or where should someone that desires to, I guess, to be in the praise and worship, or be over the children's class. You know, they have a desire to work in church, but something not totally, I guess, how do I say it?
Totally don't agree with you.
Yes, something just doesn't agree with your spirit, and you feel like there needs to be some more. That person needs some more time at the altar, or there needs to be some more something. You be like, Lord, and you don't want to make somebody stumble. You don't want to put a stumbling block in front of somebody. I mean, you don't want to make You don't want other people to look at this and think, oh, I don't have to clean up my act. I can teach the children's class. I can get on the praise and worship and I can switch. I ain't gotta ask God to help me get rid of these little things that I've been bothering with on the inside, you know, or whatever. I can wear my skinny jeans and my earring in both ears. And a hat cut to the side, and they can still call me brother. You know, so just things was, and I was looking up some scriptures, you know, in one scripture in Amos 3:3, And it says, can two walk together except they agree?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to put anybody in a, I don't think anybody should be in a position where, first of all, if they aren't totally given over to the Lord, and you don't, you don't know what they're going to be teaching. If you're putting them in over a class of children, you don't know what they're going to be teaching if they're not told, if they're not saved filled with the Holy Ghost. It should be some prerequisites before anybody is even given a position in church. There should be some things that the pastor should see, some things that should be evident in their life. 1 Timothy 5:22 also says, lay hands suddenly on no man. And we cannot partake in another man's sin. And just because someone has a talent, someone has a gift, it's not for the, oh, wow, that person, they work with children in the Baltimore City Public Schools. You know, and they won a national award. Okay, that's wonderful. Okay, but that was in the secular school. And that was there. But this is the house of God. And I need to see some things, other things, and that we may have a vacancy in the church, may have a need in the church, but I'm going to have to, and I know that brother desire a position in the church, although it may not even be a paying position. I have to see some things because they're going to be over children. They're going to be speaking into children's lives. They're going to be in a position of authority and all. And we don't want any backlash. We want to know that they're saved filled with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God is going to be coming out of them into these children. We want to be sure without beyond a shadow of a doubt what's going to be coming out is going to be only word. And also 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. We always thought, I was always told of that scripture of when you're dating, when you're getting married, always have somebody, be married to somebody that's saved. You don't even date the unsaved. And how can y'all, you know, have a marriage, one person thinking this way and another one thinking this way? But that's not the only way we can be unequally yoked.
Mm-hmm.
And also in business, I've always said that also when it comes to business, you need to have a saved partner even when it comes to business. So y'all be on the same page. Y'all both can hear from the Lord and everything. And I also believe that when it comes to organizations in the church or offices in the church, the pastor should not have to be worried, oh gosh, what is this person teaching the children today? What is going on with this group today? Or what's going on over there? No, that person should have come before the pastor. The pastor should, before he even picks somebody, chooses somebody, or the Lord, first of all, God needs to drop the person in the pastor's spirit. And then that's to let that person know, hey, there are some prerequisites before I put anybody in an office. And all, because we don't want anything wrong being spoken into anybody's life. And Pastor Maxine, I believe that when it comes to a pastor, people in authority have to watch, but particularly pastors, have to watch so much what they say out of their mouths because people hold on to it. People think everything that comes out of their mouth is gospel, and you don't want to hurt. You don't want to offend. You don't want to damage. You don't want to, because once you said it, you can't, and once somebody hears something, they can't unhear it. Once something goes out in the air, just like on television, it's not like those words can go out into a bubble and you can pop the bubble and the words disappear. Life is not like that. You can't unhear something. You can't take something out from somebody's mind. Once somebody's been hurt, somebody's been offended. It's hard to win a brother that's been offended. It's easier to win a city than a brother that's been offended. You know, and we just don't want to. We want to be careful who we appoint, who we put over children, who we want, I keep saying children, but that, I mean, in any office, in the church, we want to, you know, because we're speaking into people's lives, and people hold on to things that the people of God say, and then, and you don't want a mistake to happen, because then the enemy can use it and say, uh-huh, see, I told you, oh, see, that, no, that's why we had to put things before the Lord, put things before God. Lord, lead and guide me. Is this right? Should I go this direction? Should I go in that direction? Give it to me, just what to do, just what to say. And all, and thank God, he is there, and he's our ever-present help. We can always run to him, always ask him to lead us and guide us.
This is a very interesting topic tonight. Why I said that is because
you can hardly hear.
Many people, praise God, don't even, you know, they don't even pay this in mind. When you saw, when you gave me the topic, is it okay to involve unbeliever in church ministry? Also, Lord, this is very interesting, right? And all, and listen, remember, we've been put over, and I'm going to go back to the youth ministry, okay? And I can remember that we had the youth ministry on Saturday, and the group and the children, they would come, and they would recite the poems, and they would recite the Bible scripture that I had given them, and they would also sing. And it was some children that had walked past the church, and they heard them singing, and they came into the church. And of course, they weren't Christians, and they, you know, they wanted to participate. Okay. And so I told them, I said, you know, I said, yeah, you could come in and you can participate, but that's okay. So they had three of them. It was three of them, and they had beautiful voices. And then they told me, they said, we want to sing. And I asked them, I said, what hymn are you going to sing? And they said, we don't know no hymn. And I told them, I said, well, then you can't sing. I said, you're welcome to participate. I said, but you have to learn a hymn. So they said, well, when can we come back? I said, we're here every Saturday. And I gave them the time. And I said, if you have learned a hymn, then you're welcome to sing it. Well, they went home, and they learned the hymn. And they came back. And I was surprised they learned it so fast. They came back the next Saturday. And they raised their hand, and they said, can we sing the hymn? Can we sing the hymn? And I said, yes, you can. I said, if you learned it, I said, but you learned it fast. But they were into music, okay? And so it wasn't hard for them to learn it. So they learned the hymn, and they sang the hymn. Well, because of the love of God that was shown unto them, they wind up giving their hearts to God.
Praise God.
They wind up, one of them wind up being a deaconess, as she says. She grew up in church. Other young man, he said he worked in the church as a deaconess. As a deacon, not a deaconess. And the other one that was in the church said that She was the armor bearer for a pastor. So it made me think of when you gave me this scripture, because it can be played many ways. I don't mean that unbelievers should be put in the position of authority over a group. But I believe that when God brings the unbeliever in, that he wants the leader to show the love of God to them, then they will be in the position to cry out to the Father God and ask God to come into their heart, that they will be like Jesus. And I thought about the scripture in Matthew, the 13th chapter. Just give them a little hoard. But God bless them. Get the word over anyhow.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. And I thought about it where it says, Matthew 13th chapter, the 24th verse. It says, another parable put the evil unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence thou hast in it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. A servant said unto him, wilt thou then that ye go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest a while ye gather up the tares, yet root up also the wheat with them, and let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and then the wheat. I thought about this passage of scripture that the Father God gave us, because we as leaders, the Bible says that we are to be led by his Spirit, for we are the sons of God. And God will bring unbelievers into the household of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And they will want to participate.
Mm-hmm.
But you put them under a strong leader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
You would train them how to dress.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
You would train them how to speak. But you would never take and push them away.
Right.
Because God, that's the way God will work within their spirit to save them. And I remember when I was saved, and I was at this holiness church, but I came from Methodist to holiness. And it was an organist that was in our church. And the pastor's son, he was an organist. And then this other young man, he was an organist. And they would take turns, okay? Now, the one that wasn't the pastor's son, he needed some learning, some teaching, okay? So what the pastor would do was she had set up this garden that if you were to be on the choir, whether you're singing, whether you're playing the instrument, you have to go to certain classes. Okay? So God began to work with them because, see, the Bible says that the wheat and the tare will grow together.
Mm-hmm.
And we as his children, we have to learn how to grow in that vineyard, okay, as strong Christians, and allow God to show the leaders how to deal with the tares, okay? All right, and God's word, he said that he was the one that's going to do the separating, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember also in the group that I had, it was some young ladies, and their dress wear was not pleasing, okay? And so me as the leader that God has placed me, I had to go before them and I had to tell them this isn't the proper dress wear that we wear in the household of saints. And I said to them, I said, your outfits are pretty and nice, but it's not the outfit that God wants in his house. Because you're going to be before his sheep, and you're going to be before some sheep that don't know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, they're going to look at you, and they're going to say, well, okay, Sister Alice can dress that way, so can I.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, me as a leader, I had to train them, and I had to let them know. And I said, if you want to sing on the choir, then you're going to have to dress the way it is instructed for us to dress. I said, first God, then our pastors, then the leader that our pastor put on under us. So, lo and behold, I said, oh, Lord, I'm going to have really a hard time with these young girls. Well, lo and behold, they all went home, and they all came back dressed.
Praise God.
And I was saying, Lord, as a leader that God had led the pastors to make me the leader of that youth, if I had broke the standard, okay, if I had said, oh, well, we got to get youth in the church so they can dress the way they want to dress. They can talk the way they want to talk. They can sing the songs they want to sing. No, I said, we have a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And we go from God to God's pastors,
mm-hmm,
to God's leaders. And I said, and we all are going to do this. And I was so, so proud of them. I told the Lord, I said, I thank you. And then also the scripture says here in Galatians 6, it says in the 10th verse, as we have therefore opportunity, he gives us an opportunity, God will, let us do good unto all men. And when unbelievers come in, we don't want to hurt their spirit. We don't want to wound their spirit. but we want to win them,
right?
And a lot of times, and I still do it, it's not a lot of times, but I still do it. I ask God, I said, what should I say?
Mm-hmm.
How should I say it? And, you know, to win this vessel over and all. And you, Lord, know the exact words that I say. And, Lord, the whole God will give me the words to say. And just let us do good unto all men meaning women too. And then we do, especially unto the household of faith. Okay?
Yes.
We do good. But we also want to make sure, because see, I believe, and pastors, you know, you could be wrong. I tell any pastor in a apostle, they can rebuke me if I'm wrong, because I want to know the truth that I believe that God brings in the sinner man, the unbelievers, into household faith.
Mm-hmm.
But they can get under the anointing.
Mm.
And we can hear the word of God being preached.
Yes, yes.
And taught. And if they out there in the world, you know, and they never come in, then they never gonna be saved.
Right.
Unless an evangelist goes out and God brings them in that way. And then also in John 15, amen, and Pastor Willie.
Yes.
If I'm talking too much, you say that's 19.
No, go ahead. It's wonderful. Go ahead. Because there's more than one way to look at it. I applaud you for the wisdom that God has given you when it came to the young ladies, because it could have been dealt with another way. And, you know, and I've heard of, you know, people coming in church that had not been previously churched and ran off because of their dress, and that's all they had. That's all they had. So therefore, wisdom has to be used to say, you know, oh baby, come here, let me talk to you. And if you're able to say, hey, meet me at such such store tomorrow, I want to take you shopping. You know, and that's showing the love of God. And it's not, you know, coming down on them so hard to make, because we can present things to a person so harshly that they can be ran away from church, not ever want to come back again, no matter what position, no matter how they might have said, oh, I want to be a part of that. The hurt from someone's tongue has just ran them away, and it can make them feel like, I ain't never going back again.
Right. And, you know, it was Christian mother, and her daughter and sons, you know, came to the church and all. And she, you know, back there, we used to have the mini skirts and mini caps. And she was having a time with her daughter, okay? And her daughter, she was in my class. And so her mother said, I'm having a time with her, with the mini dresses.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when she was around her mother, she would wear the longer dresses that her mother had given her to the knee.
Mm-hmm.
But then when she was not around her mother, she put the mini dress on.
Oh, yeah.
And so her mother said, I want you just to tell her, you know, about that. And wait a minute. I said, we're going to pray about this.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because God knows how to deal with your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you bring her to church every Sunday. And I said, and during the week when we have Tuesday Bible study, I said, you were praying to church. I said, so God knows exactly her heart.
Yes, yes.
So I began to pray and began to intercede. And God with some other youth in there that needed help too with their dress wear and both of them. And God said, told me, He said, I want you to teach on the Holy Spirit. And so I taught a lesson on the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit was their friend, and he was their teacher, and he was their leader and their guide.
Thank you, Jesus.
And as I began to teach, they wanted to know more about the Holy Spirit. And I told them, I said, the Holy Spirit would begin to tell you how to dress. If you ask him,
praise God.
And the girl said, he will. I said, yes. I said, you ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to dress. He will tell you what to dress and how to dress. You go in your closet, and the Holy Spirit will tell you what to put on.
Mm-mm-mm.
Well, lo and behold, youth will test you. They will try you. They would say, well, okay, is she or he telling me the truth about God? And so they went home. And they came back to church. And when they walked in the door, I literally thought that I was in another church. They were dressed. The young lady, she stood up in her class and she said, I used to rebel against my mother and wear the mini skirts. She said, but the Holy Ghost got a hold of me.
Woo!
And now I'm wearing longer. What's coming? And she bust out shouting and praying. The young man, he said, I wanted to wear this type of hat. He said, and my mother said it wasn't appropriate. He said, look, I don't have a hat on today. They was just worshiping and praising God because I told them the truth.
Thank God.
I said, you ask God. Ask him. I said, and he will tell you what to put on. Amen. And you see, God don't want us to, for unbelievers is tares in the church. Okay? And he don't want us to run them out of the church.
Amen.
But he want us to train them in the way they should go.
Love them,
When they depart, they will not. Oh, glory be to God. I can remember, Sister Peaches, oh, Lord Jesus, when I first really gave my heart to God, my mom and dad said there was a God. The Methodist Church said there was a God. But the Pentecostal Church told me, said, you can have a relationship with the Father God. And I used to get down on my knees as a child, and I would cry out to him. And I'd think about it. I'd say, Lord, I was one of those chairs. I could have been thrown away because I didn't track right. I didn't talk right. I didn't walk right. I had a switch in my walk. You know, I was a young child. You know, that broke a lot of the laws of God. And I could have been thrown away like the tares. And I could have been thrown out of the church. The church not allowing me to come. But lo and behold, the pastors, you know, and the leaders that was there welcomed me and taught me, okay, your dress has to come down some. You know, you have to say kind words and not mean words to people. And this is what God wants. And I see time and time in church, and praise God that we don't, some churches don't get there. We go into church, God's church is love.
Yeah.
People, God is love. And God's people is love.
Yeah.
And we should be able to love, as the Bible says, that we can love, okay, multitude of sin and bring them into the kingdom of
Thank
God.
You, Jesus.
I don't care what sin that they are doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The love of God can destroy that
you,
sin, and they can become, hallelujah, the vessel, the child of God that God wants them to become.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. And God, this is why God said in his word, the harvest is plentiful,
but
the labor is few. And I've seen a lot of laborers go out into the vineyard, and they don't know how, amen, to be good laborers in the vineyard. I can compare that with, I remember my sister one day, praise God, they went to pick tomatoes, amen, and in the tomato field. And she said, sis, you want to come and learn how to pick the tomatoes? And I love eating tomatoes. And I said to her, yeah, I'll go. And I went in the field, and they were filling their basket. And my sister came to me, how come your basket is not filled? Lo and behold, my basket wasn't filled because I was eating the tomatoes. And I went home, praise God, with the baskets that didn't have many tomatoes.
Mm.
Everybody had a full basket, but I didn't have it. Me and another girl, we enjoyed eating the tomatoes. And this is how some of the turds in the vineyard, they love to sing, they love to play the drums, they love to play the organ, they love, amen, to do all that, but they have to be taught how to worship God, how to let God, praise God, have his way in their life. And we can win them over.
Yes.
We show them the love
yes,
of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God.
And that takes wisdom. That takes wisdom. Because what may win one may not work for another. And we have to win a soul, we must be wise and cunning. And what
yes.
may work, we have to ask God. I say, Lord, okay, this is such and such. Lord, give me what this person needs. Tell me, Lord, how to win this one. Because we don't know what's in this person, in this young person's background or whatever. And we don't want to approach this one the same way we approach that. And before we approach each and every one of them, we have to consult God. Because God doesn't want any of them lost. He doesn't want us to run any of them out. He wants to grab a hold of them and show them a love that they have never seen before. Hallelujah. And the love of God will outdo and outlast anything that they have ever experienced and ever thought that they would see probably in the church. Thank you so much, Pastor Maxine. Hallelujah. And we thank God for the wisdom that he has given you, that you have given, that you have shared with us. Hallelujah. And I'm going to keep all that in mind. Hallelujah. And all the opportunities God, he's going to afford me. Hallelujah, the new people coming into the church. Hallelujah, I'm going to keep it all in mind. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, give me just what you say. Watch my tongue. Hallelujah, put a watch on, Lord, in my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. Hallelujah. We just thank God for all that was said and done tonight. And we just thank God for Jesus. We thank God for how he's headed on to the church. And, Lord, we just ask you, give us, Lord God, just what to say, just what to do, how to win the loss for you, Father, in the name of Jesus, and not allow any hurt to come from our mouths to anybody, Lord God, that's coming into the church. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Father, in Jesus' Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Lucius, can I
just go a place where he really needs me, and none of them can.
Was sponsored by the Women's Fellowship of the Potter's House, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International. Stay tuned for the Men's and Women's Fellowship on the second Friday in the month of August. God bless you.